Bible says in Leviticus 25 and verse number 10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Good morning and welcome to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located in Vilas, just 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We'd love for you to come and visit with us anytime in any of our services. We have Sunday school every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., then our 11 o'clock worship service, second and fourth Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, and then every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we have our prayer meeting and Bible study. And I've been preaching through the book of Colossians, and what a gem. Just 4 little chapters there. I think it works out to be 96 verses, but there are so many good things in the book of Colossians. I've never preached through that book before. But anyway, we have all these opportunities to come and worship, pray with us, study God's Word together. We have more information available on the church website. That's MountLebanonBC.org, and it's good to be here today. Good morning, Noah. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Yes. We want to say how much we appreciate our listeners, those who are listening in on AM 1450 and all right here in Boone, and also those who are listening in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we were out of town last week, and it was pre-recorded, but we're back this week, and we had a good vacation and enjoyed a little time of rest and relaxing and getting ready. We have a very busy fall coming up, and one thing I do want to mention before we start today is if you are interested in furthering your Bible education, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church is going to be sponsoring a satellite school. This is the classes that are taught at VBC Bible Institute in Roan Mountain, Tennessee, and by DVD. 1 week after the live class, we will start the live classes where you go to the to Roan Mountain, Tennessee. I'll be teaching over there starting August 11th. And then 1 week after that, at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, we'll be starting our satellite school. That's on August the 18th. But if you are interested, this is to work towards a bachelor's degree. You don't have to take the classes for credit. We have some people who just want to set in and gain the knowledge. But if you are going to go to all that trouble, my way of thinking is for no more than it costs, yeah, I would just go ahead and work on my bachelor's degree. But anyway, either way you would want to do it, it's not just for preachers. It is for preachers, preachers' wives, Sunday school teachers, missionaries, just somebody that wants to learn more about the Bible. You'd be very interested. The classes this fall are going to be New Testament Survey, Brother Tull Oaks. He teaches that class. The Book of Romans, Brother Kenneth Forbes teaches that class, and then I'll be teaching the Kingdom of the Cults in the last class of the evening. So you come to school on Thursday night. There's 3 classes with a 10-minute break in between. We start about 6:30 and end up about 9:20, and it goes for 16 weeks. And then this will go on in the fall and in the spring for 3 years. And after 3 years, you'll complete the whole course or the whole program and be able to get your bachelor's degree. So it's something that's being offered, something that we will be doing and mentioning from time to time. And if you're interested, call me. The church phone number, 828-963-4596. We'll get more information to you, or you can go to www.vbcministries.org, and we'll have that information again at the end of the radio broadcast. But we want to get into the subject for today, and those of you that are regular listeners, you know that we have been going through the little book called The 5,000-Year Leap. I've not been teaching through the book per se, but what we've been doing since, well, actually, I started last December laying the foundation. And but there's 28 founding principles that we've been going over from that book, the 28 founding principles. And we've been asking ourselves the question, or I have been asking the question as I have gone through these founding principles. The question, is America really a Christian nation founded upon biblical principles? And we have three little points that we've went over and over and over again with each of these principles. We've looked, first of all, is there a scriptural principle? Second of all, given a historical example. And thirdly, we've given a present day application, and we've done that for now 25 of these principles. We are almost done with this study. When we get done with this, we'll go right into something else. I've got something I'm working on. I'm not going to announce it just yet, but today we come to number 26. The 26th founding principle is this: the core unit which determines the strength of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect its integrity. And that is chapter 26 in the book, The 5,000-Year Leap. But it's talking there about the importance of the family in society. And the role of good government should be to foster and protect the integrity of the family. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. The government, a good government, should foster and protect the integrity of the family. The family is the very core of the whole of society. I'm very interested in the subject of the family. The family is of utmost importance. If the family is torn down, if the family is dispersed, if the family is broken down and dysfunctional and not even a good influence in society any longer, then it affects everybody and everything. The founders were very interested in the family. Now, the name of this radio broadcast is The Blessings of Liberty. That comes from the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. And there's a phrase in there that talks about the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. So what the founders were doing when they got together and they put forth the Declaration of Independence, they seen that there was no way they were going to be able to reconcile with England and King George, and that they were going to have to separate. They were going to have to fight Britain. There was going to be a war. And then even after that, the establishing of the Constitution, you know, when they got together, they were not just thinking about themselves. They said, we're going to do this. We're going to go through this great sacrifice. We are going to put our name, our fortunes, our future on the line, not just for ourselves, but for our posterity, which means literally our descendants, our family. The word posterity means descendants, children, children's children, and cetera, indefinitely. I mean, right on and on and on. They wanted the blessings of liberty for themselves, but not just for themselves. They wanted it for their posterity, their children, their children's children. So they were very interested in the impact that this was going to have upon their families. And then we can also say today that God is most definitely interested in the family. Now, I want to say some things, first of all, scriptural principle-wise, along those lines. Of course, we would say that God is interested in the family because family was God's invention in the first place. And what I mean by that, family, marriage, this is not the idea of some government. This is not the idea of some ancient man. This is not the idea of some ancient king or ancient civilization. But family can only be traced back to the idea of God. It was God's idea. It was God's invention. God made the family. God made marriage. The first two chapters of God's Word, if you were just to mention that and say, well, what's Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 about? most people that knew anything about the Bible, they would say, well, Genesis chapter 1 and chapter number 2, it's about the creation of the world, and it is, but it is also about half of those chapters are taken up with God's creation of the family. So we see the great importance that God puts upon the family by how he describes and talks about the family in the first two chapters of the Bible. For example, Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27, the Bible says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And in chapter number 1, it talks about God creating man and woman, male and female. Then in chapter number 2, we see that what that is, some people say, well, I don't understand. It talks about it in chapter 1 and chapter number 2. In chapter number 1, you have a summary, you might say. And in chapter number 2, God goes back in his word and fills in the details of how he made male and female, talking about the creation of Adam and Eve. And so we have more details about the creation of the family in chapter number 2. Just some of the highlights of chapter number 2 in the Bible is that God said in chapter number 2 of the book of Genesis that it was not good for man to be alone. And that although there were all the creatures that were made out there, there was found no help meet for Adam. Adam did not originally have a partner. It was man. God created Adam. God created all the animals. God created the world, and he created Adam last. And it was seen that none of the animals would be a proper partner for Adam to have. So when Adam saw that there was this great need in his life, God created Eve from Adam's rib. You can go there in Genesis chapter number 2 and read all of these things. But in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 24, and this is a passage of scripture that is used many times in the wedding ceremony, it says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now there, in a nutshell, is the foundation of any good society. God knew that the family would need to be strong if society was going to be strong and make it and be what the Lord designed it and intended for it to be. So we find several things we could say about verse number 24. We could say the importance of a father and a mother. He said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother." That is the proper definition of a family. There must be a father. There must be a mother. There cannot be procreation. There cannot be children if there's not a male and a female. Well, God's design is that the male and the female be husband and wife and have children. And when the husband and the wife have children, then there you have the family unit. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife." So we have the husband, wife, the mother, the father. We have the children. They shall be one flesh. There we have the Bible picture of what a family ought to be. And the Bible is the most pro-family book in the world. If you just look at it as literature, as some people do. Now, it's more than that. It's the very Word of God. But it's the most pro-family book that you'll find in the whole wide world. You see in the Word of God, the Bible talks about that children should obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. They should honor their mother and their father. They should not bring reproach upon their parents. And there's many, many examples that we could give from the Bible today. But I want to say this before we move on. Marriage is God's idea. Marriage is God's invention. And this is why no matter what happens in the world, no matter if every state in the union were to legalize homosexual marriage, I noticed yesterday in the newspaper there was an article about over this past weekend in the state of New York, there were many homosexual marriages took place. And there were pictures and there were stories and there were celebrations and all of these things. New York, the state of New York, is the most populous state so far to legalize homosexual marriage. And so it's a pretty big deal. The newspapers and the news channels and all of these, they're making a pretty big deal about it. And New York is the sixth state to legalize homosexual marriage. But it doesn't matter if every state legalized homosexual marriage. It does not matter if the federal government were to recognize homosexual marriages. It does not matter if the whole of society recognizes and accepts and condones homosexual marriage. It will never, never, never be legitimate. And the reason I say this is because marriage is God's idea. It is God's invention. And whenever you even say the word marriage, when you talk about husband and wife, you are talking about something that came to us from the mind of God. Marriage is a covenant between God and a man and a woman. And the man and the woman make a covenant with God that they're going to come together and they're going to cleave one to another. Marriage is God's idea. This is why Christians, this is why the Jewish faith also can come and say, look, God says this. And it doesn't matter what society says because it's God's idea. If we could get that across today, we could see why Christians have the right to make the argument that you cannot change marriage. Any nation, and let me say this, it'll never be legitimate because God condemns it and God does not change. Malachi 3:6, the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. And it's a covenant between God and man and the woman. But any nation that destroys the family. Now, there's more than one way to destroy the family. You can destroy the family through the influence of many things in society, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's the destruction of the family through abortion, whether it's adultery and promiscuousness and fornication or pornography or whatever the case might be. Any nation that destroys the family is only destroying itself. So scripturally, it's very easy to make the case that God is for the family. Historically speaking, today, once upon a time in America, family was revered. It was honored, it was blessed, it was encouraged, it was exalted. In this book, The 5,000-Year Leap, there's a paragraph about the gentleman who came to America to observe what made America great, and he even wrote a book along those lines. His name was Alexis de Tocqueville. I guess that's the way you pronounce his name. I'm not exactly sure, but he wrote Democracy in America. But he observed what made America great. And he said this about the family. This is in the early 1800s. He said there is certainly no country, or the 1700s, or no, the 1800s. I'm getting my centuries and my hundreds mixed up. But he said this, there is certainly no country in the world where the tie of marriage is more respected than in America, or where conjugal happiness is more highly or worthily appreciated. And so he observed that in America, marriage was on a higher plane than it was in Europe. He goes on and he says, in Europe, almost all the disturbances of society arise from the irregularities of domestic life. To despise the natural bonds and legitimate pleasure of home is to contract a taste for excesses, a restlessness of heart, and fluctuating desires. Agitated by the tumultuous passions that frequently disturb his dwelling, the European is galled by the obedience which the legislative powers of the state exact. But when the American retires from the turmoil of public life to the bosom of his family, he finds in it the image of order and of peace. There his pleasures are simple and natural, his joys are innocent and calm, and he finds that an orderly life is the surest path to happiness. He accustoms himself easily to moderate his opinions as well as his tastes. While the European endeavors to forget his domestic troubles by agitating society, the American derives from his home that love of order which he afterwards carries with him into public affairs. Now, I hope you could listen closely to that. It is a good description of the difference between the family in America and the family in Europe. But once upon a time, America was highly revered and honored and blessed. If you read, as I have, and study about the great men and families of the founding of America, such as Daniel Boone. I read a book last year about him and his life. I'm reading a book now about Patrick Henry. Maybe you've read about President John Adams and his wife Abigail and their great love one for the other, or families like Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher once upon a time in America. You cannot come away without anything other than how important their families were to them. Historically, in America, family once upon a time was revered and honored and protected. The laws protected and promoted the family. But I must move along today. Today, in America, the family is under attack as never before. And I believe it would be proper to say that in America, the family has been under attack for the past 40, 45, 50 years. There's been just an undaunting attack against the family. And I want to illustrate it like this today. I think this would be the easiest, quickest way to point out the difference between the two. And I want to say just a little bit, think with me today about TV families in the past and TV families today. And what I mean by that, I grew up on television shows like Andy Griffith, The Waltons, Leave It to Beaver even. Some of you remember Ward and his wife and the Leave It to Beaver show. Remember, used to watch that, Little House on the Prairie. Even shows like The Brady Bunch, which would have been the 70s, somewhere along in there. If you think about the TV family of a generation ago, the father in the shows, he was wise, he was helpful, he was heroic, he was good, he had answers to problems that the family had. The mother in the TV show, she was decent, she was supportive, she was wise, she was loving. The children, maybe they were mischievous, but they were pretty much innocent in the things that they got involved in. They were respectful, they were obedient, they honored their parents, they were wrong, and they received help and instruction from their parents. Now, you could take any of those shows I mentioned and make the case for what I just said. But the TV family of today, the late 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000, the TV family that you see that replaced Andy Griffith and the Waltons and Little House on the Prairie and these shows, the father, if there is a father, now I'm talking about what you see today on TV that is reflective of the family. If there is a family, I mean, if there is a father, he is made out to be an imbecile. He's an idiot. He doesn't know anything. He's out of touch with the whole family. He lies to his wife. He fails miserably in anything that he tries to do. He talks dirty and he drinks beer and makes sex jokes. And he's very crude and he's very, he's just a little bit of a step above his knuckles dragging the ground. the mother in the modern TV family. She's bossy, she's overbearing, she's loud, she fights with her husband, he fights with her, she blows up at the children and the family, she goes out all the time with her friends and is gone, she's constantly correcting her husband, she doesn't even actually like to be with him or the children. The children in the modern day TV family, they're rude, they're disobedient, they're made to look smarter than the mother and the father, they're immature, they make sex jokes right along with the rest of them. And whether we like it or not, that is a pretty telling picture of where we are in America. There used to be a little saying that says, as goes the family, so goes the church. And as goes the church, so goes the nation. And I have to close today, say a few comments along those lines. But the principle is that what we started out with is that good government, now I'm talking about good government would protect the integrity of the family, not tear it down. But what we have in government today is a government that is all too quick to tear down the family unit, the family foundations, and so therefore it's hard to say that it's good government. But once upon a time, government protected the integrity of the family. Now, today, most families are in a mess, tore all to pieces. Government doesn't help anything, makes that which is wicked normal. And that which is abnormal, things are just totally messed up in our country when it comes to the family. But along these same lines, I'm going to go ahead today and talk just a minute. I want to talk about how this is tied in as well. But next week, what we're going to be looking at in the 27th principle is the subject of the burden of debt, and how this also ties in with the destruction of the family and the destruction of the nation. The 27th principle is the burden of debt is as destructive to freedom as subjugation by conquest. And Benjamin Franklin said this about debt, and I think this is going to be very good next week, very relevant, because next Tuesday will be August the 2nd. That's when the deadline for the debt ceiling being raised or not. And if you are paying any attention to the news, that's all they're talking about is the debt that our nation is in. And so this is going to land right on that, Lord willing, next Tuesday. But Benjamin Franklin said this about debt. He said, think what you do when you run in debt. You give to another power over your liberty. And our founding fathers, they realized the great danger of debt. And what we're seeing right now is what we're reaping, because we have become a nation that has run in debt. Our nations are not strong, not our nations, but our families are not strong. Our industry is not strong. My, how we need God's help in our nation. We're talking week after week about the blessings of liberty. I'm very thankful for the blessings that we do have. I'm very thankful for the freedoms that we have, that we can go and worship. But as we see our nation go farther and farther away from God, we see our liberties become less and less restrictive, or our liberties become less and less. We see laws being more and more restrictive. We see more of our blessings falling away. Well, Noah's going to come and he's going to give the contact information. Please remember, if you're interested in VBC Bible Institute, get in touch with us. August 11th and 18th will be here before you know it. We'd love to help you in that. Noah, give us the contact information, please.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, the church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through the church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.